the History of Estonia podcast, where the goal is to inform the general English-speaking world of the history of this small but fascinating country and its people. William Parsley here, and in this episode, we will cover the tremendously important events in February 1944, 80 years afterward, and during World War II in Estonia. I mentioned last episode that we will use the calendar I picked up at the Estonian War Museum as the roadmap to point out important events during the war in Estonia in 1944. The War Museum has since sold out of the calendar, but don't let that stop you if you plan on visiting the War Museum. It's in a beautiful building, and the museum exhibitions are wonderfully engaging if you are interested in the history of warfare in Estonia, especially if you would like to learn more about the time frame we cover in this episode. Significant military and political developments marked the events of February 1944 in Estonia. On February 2, 1944, the first Red Army units crossed the Narva River, marking the beginning of the Narva Offensive Campaign. The campaign was fought between the German Army Detachment Narva and the Soviet Leningrad Front for the strategically important Narva Isthmus. The Soviet Union viewed Estonia as a precondition for forcing Finland out of the war, and Stalin was personally interested in taking Estonia. On February 7, 1944, Jüri Uluots, the last Prime Minister of Estonia, expressed his support for the general mobilization in a radio address. This call drew support from all across the country, and 38,000 draftees appeared at the German registration centers. The address had a significant impact on the population, and many Estonians joined the German formations. On February 8, 1944, the Estonians who fled to Finland to escape German mobilization were formed into Infantry Regiment 200 as part of the Finnish Army. This was an important development as it allowed Estonians to fight for their independence and also helped Finland in its war effort. On February 14, 1944, the National Committee of the Republic of Estonia was established in Tallinn with the aim of restoring independent statehood. This was a significant political development as it aimed to establish a provisional government during the expected German withdrawal. The committee succeeded in establishing a communication network with the Estonian diplomats in Finland and Sweden. The establishment of the National Committee of the Republic of Estonia has had an important impact on the Estonian story of the continuance of government. On the same date, February 14, 1944, the landing attempt of the Red Army on the coast of the Gulf of Finland in Merikula, just 10 kilometers west of the Narva River, was repelled. This significant military development prevented the Soviet Union from gaining a valuable foothold in Estonia. Lastly, on February 23, 1944, the Army Detachment Narva assumed command of the defense of the Narva Front, and General Oberst Johannes Freisner commanded it until the end of July. The Narva Offensive Campaign continued until February 28, 1944, when it was halted. These events in February 1944 were significant in Estonia's history and profoundly impacted the country's political and military landscape. I would say that the actions we will discuss further regarding the importance of the formation of the National Committee of the Republic of Estonia were pivotal in Estonia's claim of continuance of government and eventually their claim for independence from the USSR. The Estonian government faced a tumultuous period in February 1944. The National Committee of the Republic of Estonia was formed by Estonian politicians and members of the last government of the Republic of Estonia before the Soviet occupation to control the anti-Soviet resistance movement in Nazi-occupied Estonia in March 1944. However, by April 1944, a large number of the committee members were arrested by the German security agencies. On September 20, 1944, the committee proclaimed the Republic of Estonia restored. But 2 days later, the Soviet army took control of Tallinn. The original initiative to form the committee came from the Estonian former pre-plebiscite of 1933 opposition parties. It denied the constitutional authority of Jüri Uluots, the last pre-war prime minister of the Republic of Estonia. On July 29, 1941, Uluots met with a Nazi military government in Tartu, thanked them for freeing Estonia, and asked them to allow him to form the government of independent Estonia with his own armed forces. However, his request was turned down. The committee aimed to establish a provisional government during the German withdrawal, expected as the Red Army had reached the border of Estonia on February 2, 1944. On August 1, 1944, the committee declared itself to be the bearer of the supreme power of the state. The committee succeeded in establishing a communication network with the Estonian diplomats in Finland and Sweden. In February 1944, the Nazi authorities proclaimed conscription of Estonians. Uluots supported it by saying on the radio broadcast on February 7th that going along with mobilization is unavoidable at the moment, and only by doing so can we expect a better future for Estonia. And approximately 40,000 men joined the Nazi formations as a result. On April 20th, 1944, Jüri Uluots convened the Electoral Committee of the Republic of Estonia, which was responsible for electing the acting president of the republic. The committee held a clandestine meeting in Tallinn, which was attended by several prominent figures, including Jüri Uluots, the last prime minister of Estonia before the Soviet occupation, appointed on October 12th, 1939. Johan Holberg, the acting commander-in-chief of the armed forces, appointed on December 1st, 1943. Otto Puk, the chairman of the Chamber of Deputies, elected on October 17th, 1939. Alfred Maurer, the second deputy vice chairman of the National Committee, elected on April 21st, 1938. And Mikkel Klassen, chairman of the Administrative Department of the State Court of Estonia, appointed on September 26, 1938. The committee determined that the Soviet-era appointments of Johannes Veris as prime minister by Konstantin Pets had been illegal, and that Uluots had assumed the president's duties from June 21, 1940 onwards. On April 21, 1944, Jüri Uluots appointed Alfred Maurer and Otto Tief as deputy prime ministers. On September 18, 1944, Uluots, suffering from cancer, named Otto Tief the acting prime minister and appointed a government which consisted of 11 members. Jan Maide was appointed commander-in-chief of the Estonian military. Thus, some members of the National Committee became members of the constitutional government. On September 20th, 1944, Uluots departed for Sweden. Tief assumed office in accordance with the constitution and took the opportunity, with the departure of the Germans, to declare the legitimate Estonian government restored. Most of members of this government left from Tallinn on September 21st, and Tief on September 22nd. According to the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Estonian national government was proclaimed in Estonia, and Estonian military units seized the national government buildings in Tampere Castle and ordered the German forces to leave. However, according to later publication, the German forces left voluntarily. The Nazi German flag on Peak Hermann Tower of Tampere was replaced with the flag of Estonia 2 days later. On the next day, September 21st, the flag of Estonia was raised alongside the Nazi Navy flag in the presence of the Nazi Guard of Honor. The Nazi flag was bigger than the one of Estonia. TF's government, however, failed to stay in power as Estonian military units led by Johann Pietke clashed with both Germans and Soviets. On September 22, 1944, the Soviet Leningrad Front took control of Tallinn. The members of the government who failed to flee the territory controlled by the Soviet Union were captured by NKVD. Maide was executed, while TF, Arnold Susi, Hugo Pertelpoig, Johann Karlmai, and some others were imprisoned or sent to gulag camps. And last but certainly not least, after Ulowitz died on January 9, 1945, in Sweden, August Rey, as the most senior surviving member of the government, assumed the role of acting head of state. Rey was supported by the surviving member of TF's government in Sweden. Rey was the last Estonian envoy in Moscow before the Soviet annexation and had managed to escape from Moscow through Riga to Stockholm in June 1940. In the shadow of two titans, Estonia's daring gamble against Nazi and Soviet might. Imagine being caught in a deadly game of tug-of-war between two colossal empires, Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. That was the plight of Estonia during World War II. A tiny nation squeezed between two behemoths vying for dominance. But amidst the despair, a flicker of defiance emerged. The National Committee of the Republic of Estonia. This wasn't your run-of-the-mill resistance group. Formed by pre-war politicians and members of the last legitimate Estonian government, the committee wasn't just whispering dissent in dark corners. They were audacious. Their goal? To seize the chaotic moment of a German retreat and reclaim the rightful place as a free nation. Their journey was one of daring gambles and crushing blows. They built a clandestine network, defied the Nazis, and even declared a provisional government. On September 20th, 1944, with the Red Army at the doorstep, they raised the Estonian flag over Peak Hermann in Tallinn, their defiant cry echoing across a land ravaged by war. But freedom, it seemed, was a fleeting dream. 2 days later, Soviet tanks rolled into the capital, crushing the nascent Estonian state under their iron tread. Members of the committee were hunted down, imprisoned, or worse. Yet their story just wasn't about defeat. It was about the unyielding spirit of a people, their unwavering belief in their nation's right to exist. The National Committee's legacy transcends borders and time. It's a testament to the human spirit's capacity for rebellion, even in the face of insurmountable odds. It's a story that deserves to be heard, not just by history buffs, but by anyone who's ever dreamt of defying the seemingly inevitable. In the next episode, I look forward to discussing the Russian factor in Baltic history in the 19th and 20th century with Professor Karsten Brueggemann of Tallinn University. If you can find the time and are so inclined, I ask you to give a positive rating and review. The more listeners engage with the podcast, the more likely it is to appear in search engine result pages and to be discovered by new listeners. Thank you for listening, and I hope you can join us next time. Nagamist. Kelle saatiin põhja maale ei jõu, kelle karge ilu võõnud. I hope you enjoyed the music. I was lucky to find the anthem of the Estonian Volunteer Regiment and the Finnish Army from 1943 to 1944.